Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Gina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePauw here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Mann from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it high. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real.
Real Talk.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Whoa, 646-595-4038. The number again is 646-595-4038. And you're listening to Real Talk. Once again, we're back. Another Monday, another week. Black History Month. Happy Black History Month to everyone out there. If you celebrate Black History Month. but I think one thing that is for sure, when we just had on that intro right there, the ever-working Samuel L. Jackson. Let me say that again. Samuel L. Jackson. All right. That was his famous speech from Pulp Fiction, and when he, right before he goes into killing his, you know, he's an assassin, when he kills the guy, he says that, he quotes that Bible verse before he shoots him. So, although Pulp Fiction is not a black film, I like to think that, you know, Quentin Tarantino, who is not black, but he respects black film, he respects black cinema, and therefore he actually is responsible for a lot of resurrecting of careers, including some famous black actors. And like Pam Grier, you know, he did a whole film that he crafted around Pam Grier. So, anyhow, good evening. Let me go back to my introduction. You, as we all know, you should know by now, I am the director, and I will be with you for the next 90 minutes. I have my Jedi Council with me, and we're going to be talking about, in honor of Black History Month, we're going to talk about I want people to call in and give us your top, well, we say top 10, we're going to say give us your top 5 must-see black films. In honor of Black History Month, give us your top 5 must-see black films. And since this is Real Talk, we talk about film and television, we're also going to talk about give us your top, because there's not a lot of black, there wasn't a whole bunch of black television, so we're going to say top 3, make it a little harder. Give me your top 3 black, must-see black television shows. So, anybody wants to call in about any one of those, not a problem. We'll be talking about that. We also wanted to, you know, touched on this briefly in the past, but we do want to touch on Selma. Talk about, getting a lot of pushback about Selma and the director and the star of the film not being nominated for an Oscar. And there's a lot of pushback about that. David Oyelowo, who is the star of the film, had some words about, the Oscars and black actors. And, that's a controversy that's been kind of going on until we reach the Oscars. We'll talk about that. Anything else you want to talk about? Let's try to stick into the whole genre of black films. We also want to talk, I can actually do a whole show on blaxploitation if I wanted to. We might sprinkle it in today, and maybe since, we got at least one or two more shows left in the month, Black History Month, we might dedicate a show to blaxploitation. We'll see how that goes, because blaxploitation was an era of films, and, filmmaking for black films, and it really did, in its own way, kind of really help save black Hollywood, black actors in Hollywood. And so there's a lot of history behind that. So I'm going to bring in one of my Jedi councilmen. He's been on tour, going all over the place here and there. He's been in California and Vegas and all over the place. This man here, my boy Ralph, is in the building.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
What's going on, man? Welcome back to Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, I've been back on Eastern Standard Time for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got back from Washington, D.C., nation's capital.
That's what's up, man. I mean, so it was good, but you was over there doing your thing, over there on the West Coast, and that's what's up. And I know you'll be going back over there soon.
Yes. I have very big reason to go. Speaking of the Jedi Council, is that one of the Jedi Councils, me, has been invited to Star Wars Celebration in April. And that is a very, very big deal.
Oh, my God. Get that man on the floor as we bring in our second Jedi Councilman, the man, the myth, the legend, the Legion, Kevin. You in the building? Kev, you there? Maybe Kev isn't there, but I guess
he's coming
here soon. He's coming. He should be. I don't know. He may have had his phone on mute or something. Because a lot of times he's traveling and he doesn't want to, he has the phone on mute. Let's try it again. Kev, are you with us?
I'm in hell. Walking to the Jedi Council. Out here freezing.
My living
daylight's out. Walking with my minions. Okay. Seeing what we can see in the shadow world. What's good, movie going?
What's going on? As we just said, Ralph just announced to us that he has been invited to Star Wars Celebration out in California.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's all kinds of awesome.
I am actually looking on their website right now, and I see one of the things that they're going to premiere at Star Wars Celebration is a screening of Star Wars Episode 3 Revenge of the Sith in 3D. Nice.
That is what's up. You're going to be out there representing the brand.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And hopefully, maybe, do they have a little more of a little longer trailer to Star Wars Episode 7? Maybe.
I'm almost guaranteed you'll get something along those lines. Because when you're out there, remember, you're out there at seeing stuff at the celebration, and you're in the middle of nothing but Jedi country. And as, you know, seeing stuff in the words of Darth Vader, they're just
easy.
All too easy. So over there, you're gonna get all your big fill of Star Wars. And we're really happy for you, man, that you're going out there. That is awesome.
I almost passed out at work when I saw this. I was like, what? They did?
I'm predicting like 15 minutes worth of new footage in the new Star Wars.
I do too.
Oh yeah, they're gonna have some new footage. That's definite. That is gonna be your reward for being to come out there, and that's your reward being able to see some of that new stuff that we got going on. But before we get into our topics and things, I'm just gonna run, as you know, we gotta stick to the format and run down the weekly recap. Top five we normally do. This weekend in films, SpongeBob, the movie. Sponge Out of Water. That was the number one movie this weekend, pulling in $55 million its first weekend.
As it should.
Followed by, as it should, of course. I hate SpongeBob. I never got into that stuff. I was like, when that show, and I'm gonna finish the countdown, but I'm just gonna say when that show came on, I was like, oh my god, my kids are deprived, man. We had some good cartoons.
You're nuts. SpongeBob is the man. SpongeBob is funny. You're nuts.
I have to admit,
I never used to watch SpongeBob. Then one day I was in Florida after a friend of mine's wedding, and the TV was on, and SpongeBob was on. I was like, what the hell is this? But I went to go see the first SpongeBob movie, and I have to say, I generally laughed out loud at that movie. The first one was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, see, a lot of these cartoons now, they have a lot of, you know, adult in the windows, so, you know, adults get it too, and they have fun. Like, the cartoons from our era were more geared towards kids, and they had a little, you know, some of them. But
No, they weren't.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm talking about the cartoons nowadays, even starting from the SpongeBob era. The adult innuendos in here are just colossal all the time, all of these shows. So, but anyway, number two is American Sniper. Is holding on to number two spot. 7 weeks on the charts, $23 million, another $23 million it pulled in, which making a total gross of $281 million. Off of their $58 million budget, they destroyed that, and unfortunately, they cannot be a number two. Can't be a sequel to that. But then you have Jupiter Ascending at their first week. That's number three.
Boo.
$18 million. Seventh Son came in at $7 million first week. I don't know. Seventh Son... I'm not sure how that's going to do. It looks interesting, but not sure how it's going to do. $7 million the first week, and because it's competing against Jupiter Ascending and SpongeBob. I mean, American Sniper just continues to just move on. American Sniper is going to just continue to make money until the Oscars. So, and then number five, holding on for his second week. Number five, actually last week it was number two. Project Almanac, which only made, I don't want to say only, but it made this weekend another $5 million, bringing its total gross to $15 million. and some change. Now, that film is hugely underrated, in my opinion. I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't expect it to do colossal in the theaters. I wished it would, but it's just, it's only on its, well, it's on its second week anyway, so it's still got time to pick up some steam, you know, but you gotta get it going, man. So anyhow, that's the top five for the week, weekend recap for the weekend of February 6th through the 8th, 2015. So now, our topic of the day, as we said when I first came on, is in honor of Black History Month. We are talking your top five. At first I said top 10, but that's too much, especially if callers are calling in with their list. Top five must-see black films, meaning if you black and you like films, you have to see this film. And people have I'd imagine it'd be different interpretations, different people, and the lines are starting to, light up as we speak. So, which is good. You know, we'll go to the phones in a moment, and then we'll get our takes on it. You guys can get your list together, and I'll get my list together, and we'll do that. But we want to hear from the people first and see what they think. And also, I wanted to throw in as a little extra thing. We have, since we do talk about film and television, we would like to find out, but we're going to chop it down to your top three, make it a little harder, your top three must-see black television shows. So, you know, there's not a long, long list of them. So, you know, everyone, I'm guessing, that's why I made it only three, because I'm guessing everyone is going to have, you know, a certain show is going to be on there, you know what I mean? So we'll see what everyone else has to say. We'll go to the ball. It should be a good show. So we're going to take some calls.
Television.
What was that? TV. Oh. Okay. I was like, oh. All right, so we're going to go to the phone. We're going to take our first caller, 516 area code. I believe this is Evan Hollywood. Are you with us?
Yes, sir. What's up? Director.
What's going on?
Jedi Council.
Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Another great, great topic. You guys are doing a great job. That's a really good topic. It's funny. I was just thinking about this a couple of days ago. And when you say top five, it was funny. I was trying to do the top five black films that, if you're black, you better have seen these films. Now, are we doing that? Or are we doing the top best?
You know, I kind of like that one. That you should have seen them by now. If you're black, I kind of like that one.
Yeah,
it's different.
You can go with that, but it's your list. So if you
the top five black films that if you're black, you better have seen these movies, and it does not matter of your age.
Yeah. Okay.
These are timeless films that no matter of your age, you should have seen it. If your mama told you about it and made you watch it, you should have seen it. If you haven't, then after this show, you need to go find it.
Okay. Let's go.
I don't know if I want to put them in any particular order, but the number one black film that everyone I know better have seen is Roots.
Roots. Roots, yeah.
Okay.
Roots.
Okay. Roots is to me, the first black film that everybody should have seen by now. Okay. My second one is probably The Color Purple.
Now, Color Purple.
I'm not even into that stuff, but even I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
The Color Purple. So my is Roots. My other one is The Color Purple.
Right.
My other one, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to put it in any particular order, but everyone has seen Coolie High. Everyone black has seen Coolie High.
Except
Coolie High.
Whoa, who did I just hear say that you can see it?
Huh?
I just heard someone say, except for me. Who said that?
Yeah,
no,
he must be clowning. I don't care what had to see Coolie High.
Yes. Everyone's seen Coolie High. if you didn't see it, Kevin, when Lauryn Hill said, seen Coolie High, cry when Cold Cheese died, that would have made you go see Coolie High.
I may have seen one or two scenes in Coolie High. Wasn't interested in it.
Oh,
keep going. It gets better.
Okay.
It got better.
Okay, so I got Roots, Color Purple, Coolie High.
Right.
I have my list. Oh, the fourth film that I think everyone black has seen as well, and that is Shaft.
Yo, I just got a question, man. What's going on with the echo effect going on? Shaft.
I don't know. It's not me. I don't think it is.
Because it sounds like you got this echo going like Shaft. It was like Shaft.
Oh, that's how bad he is.
That's how
bad man.
He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
I believe that is four. And five is tough, but I think everyone has seen it's between two of them, but I'm just gonna take one. I think everyone has seen Juice. I think everybody's seen Juice.
Juice. Nice.
I'm gonna take Juice. I was gonna say Breakin', but not everyone was into breakdancing. So I'm gonna take Juice. And that's my top five at that I believe everyone, you know, has seen. I'm going to do real quickly my top five favorite black films. My number one favorite, I'm going to call it a black film. We consider it a black film because it's one of my favorite films of all time. Set It Off is one of my top three films of all time. Like, that's one of my top three favorite films, top five favorite films of all time. And we're going to consider that a black film, so I'm going to put Set It Off up there.
It is.
Personally, I like the Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier flicks. So I'm putting Let's Do It Again.
Yeah, ooh, that was what.
Yeah, baby.
That's the one right here. Let's Do It Again.
I'm putting Let's Do It Again up there. That's the joint right there. So I got Set It Off, Let's Do It Again. My third favorite black film, and it's because it scared me half to death. It still scares me to this day. I'm 40 plus, and it still scares me. Blackula.
It better have been on the list.
Blackula is my third.
Then I'll the baby crying. You said Blackula.
I said Blackula, and she burst out in the tears. So that's three. My fourth favorite one, and it's only because of the scene, all the scenes is emotional. Boys in the Hood is my fourth favorite black film, and my fifth favorite black film is Coming to America. So that's my joints.
Awesome.
My joints are those are my five favorite. My other ones, everyone should have seen. And an old film, just as I head off, and thank y'all for your time, as I head off and check y'all out, everyone should try to check the old film, everyone should try to check out, If you haven't seen it, it's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
Yes.
That's my jewel for everybody. If you haven't seen that, you got one old flick to go check out. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. The original Jungle Fever.
I got a couple more with him. Lilies of the Field. There's a couple of them with him. But, that's what's up. Thank you for calling.
Of course, I'm going to check out
Hollywood Experience. Always is airs on Mondays, Tuesdays.
Mondays,
7
p.m. to 9 p.m. live stream.
Live.
You can see my face, and you'll be able to understand why I do radio.
You need to call me about me coming up to your show, man.
Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely. I'm going to check y'all out. Y'all doing a good job.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to the show.
All righty. That was Heaven Hollywood. And, let's grab somebody else. There's somebody else been on hold here. Where'd he go? Let's grab 347-662, 347 area code 662. You're on the air with Real Talk. Who we got on the air?
What a perfect segue to follow Heaven than the producer of the Heaven Hollywood Digital Experience himself, James Acevedo. Perfectly well executed by a great director, so you do an outstanding job. Your
Jimmy Ace is in the building.
Are you the light?
Calling.
Yes. What's up, Ralph, and what's up,
sir.
Kevin?
What up?
What's up, man? Another topic that I love, and it's funny that I didn't do this purposely. It's funny, it's ironic because today I'm wearing my Pam Grier Kofi T-shirt. So it's funny that you know the one with the scene where she blows the dude's head off in the beginning of the movie. That's the shirt. She had that big ass shotgun ready to blow homeboy's head off.
Yeah, the shotgun, man. That was just. Woo!
That was great. Oh. Well, how great that is. Anyway, to my list, which I kind of gave away a little bit. These are my top five black films that you must see, regardless if you're black
Whether
or not.
Whether you're black or not. Yeah.
You should. If not, you're just an asshole. All right, anyway, here we go. Now, Heaven, shout out to Heaven. He took one of mine that I thought of, but it's okay. Juice definitely in there. What I originally else had on here, tied for fifth place, because it's very hard, because I thought of a lot of black movies. Rosewood, if I'm not mistaken, Rosewood.
Underrated film.
Yes, very underrated film. And if you don't leave out that movie being pissed off, we should kick your ass because real deep, depressing movie, but real. I love it. I love that movie. Another movie, I mean, I consider this a black movie, even though it might not be for the general public, but to me it is, and that's Glory. I love Glory.
Glory,
I love that movie.
Oh, you got to get that one on Glory.
Love Glory. Underrated movie. Another underrated movie to me. Love that movie so much. Mm-hmm. Now we get to the nitty gritty. I was saying, who don't love Pam Grier? But besides the obvious reasons why, she actually was a great actress. Let's be honest.
Once you got past the headlight, she's a great actress.
Yes, she is a great actress. Now, I would put Jackie Brown on that list. I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. I love Jackie Brown. But I wanted to go old school. So I say number four, I would put Foxy Brown on there. Foxy Brown, and to me, I think a movie that's better than Foxy Brown was Kofi. For some reason, I always like Kofi better than Foxy Brown, even though I think most people would think the other way around, because a lot of people talk about Foxy Brown more than
Foxy
Kofi.
Brown was the more popular character, and it was a little bit more popular, and then when, you know, a lot of times you got later on in the years, you have, you know, the rapper Foxy Brown came out and helped promote that whole name, you know, and then you got, you know, Beyonce played a character called Foxy Cleopatra in
where I came from.
Austin Powers movie, you know what I mean? So it was, that was the more popular character, but Coffee was really, that was a gritty film, man. That was gritty. Like I said, like you said earlier, she opened up blowing a dude's head off with a double barrel shotgun.
Great movie. Avenging her younger sister for being strung on drugs. I love that.
By this guy,
she was going after all those type of guys. Now, another movie that Heaven stole my thunder again, definitely number two on my list, and that's Boys in the Hood, definitely on that list.
Boys
John Singleton's movie. I mean, that's a deep movie. It's so deep that even that scene in the living room, I can't watch. It's hard for me to really watch that through to this day because
when they
it's
bring
such.
Him home.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when they bring him home, it's just it's heart wrenching. It's gut wrenching and heartbreaking when they bring him home. And that's that film was so important because it gave you a real inside look into how the West
inner
Coast had,
especially
you know, inner city.
Yeah.
You know, they you know that, that's what they did. Unfortunately, if a kid was shot, they brought him home, man. They didn't bring him to the hospital. He was dead anyway. They brought him home. You know what I mean? And that's, I had never saw that in a film before. When I first saw that, I thought that was interesting. I'm like, why did they bring him home? You know what I mean? But
I guess
he was already dead. So first place you want to bring him is to his mother.
And to me, that could be another topic for another day. Certain movies where certain scenes you cringe or it's hard for you to watch. That's one of them. That type of scene where you go, even to this day, you know, you go, oh man, that's how powerful that scene.
Yeah,
the whole
and
movie.
Another scene you mentioned. I mean, another movie you mentioned. A very difficult scene to watch in Glory when Denzel Washington gets caught again trying to get away, and he takes his shirt off because they're gonna whip him for trying to run. And he takes his shirt off, and he's got all these whelps on his back. And he's just sitting there, and he's got this look on his face like, go ahead and do it. And what else is new? And they whip at him, and he's got that one tear that just drops down. And then that one tear just streams down his face. I mean, if you don't feel something when that happens, you're just not a human.
You're soulless.
And that doesn't have to be, you don't have to be black, white, or anything.
Exactly.
If you don't feel nothing on that scene, you're soulless. Like you said.
I totally agree.
And what's the number one?
Number one, I actually have a drum roll in the audio file in the studio, but say that for another time. And the number one movie. A black movie of all time is far in the mind of James Daniel Acevedo. It is Malcolm X, Denzel Washington.
Wait, no.
You found it?
You didn't give me a chance.
There you go.
You didn't give me a chance to do this.
Well, I didn't know you had it, dude. All right. Let's make believe it didn't happen. And now the number one. By the way, we got the TV show list anyway, so. But anyway, and the number one from James Daniel Acevedo, Black Boy is. Wow, you did that quick, dude. Damn.
All right,
Malcolm
Say
X. Malcolm X, all right? I mean, that movie, awesome. That is the Godfather movie for black people, to me. That movie is just awesome. It is an awesome movie. You don't get moved by that, especially towards the end.
Well, I mean, it was portrayed so well. I'm about to call him Malcolm X, by Denzel Washington.
But you forget he was
director
Denzel.
He was Malcolm.
Yeah.
He was Malcolm. And directed so very cleverly and brilliantly by Spike Lee.
Yes, Spike Lee.
You know, he went in and told the whole story. You saw the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, and it was just a great story from beginning to end. It was long too, but it didn't feel long. You know,
exactly.
it felt like you almost felt like you had to see all that. So that's what's up. Well, that sounds like a very
that's
a
very
good list you got going there.
Yeah,
man.
We really
thank you for sharing that list with us, man.
Real quickly.
And go ahead.
My top three black TV shows. We have to talk about this real quick. Here we go. Number three, The Jeffersons. The Jeffersons. Number two, tied. This is a tie for me. Martin and the Wayans brothers. Love both those shows. I couldn't pick. It was so hard because they're both funny as hell. And number one that influenced all these shows, well, except for the Jeffersons. The Jeffersons was around the same time as this number one show, is Sanford and Son. Best black TV, black TV show ever. Love it.
Beautiful.
Big dummy.
Yeah, we thank you again for calling up, Jimmy A.
No problem. Thank you, everybody.
And yeah, man. Thanks for your support, buddy.
Not a problem. And Ralph, good luck out there, Star Wars, bro. That's awesome. Love that.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's good. Enjoy, bro. That's awesome. Later,
now,
everybody.
Maybe when I get out there, I can get that Jedi robe going on.
Yeah, that's what's up. That was Jimmy Ace, of course. Dollhouse Radio executive. We'll call him that. I'm just giving him that title. But he really is. He produces a lot of shows for Dollhouse. He produces the Heaven Hollywood Experience, the digital experience. He's got the bench warmers. He's got he's all over the place, man. He's one of the big dogs over here in Dollhouse Radio. We're gonna go to another person who's been holding on a long time, and I believe this is my boy Locke. Is 770 area code. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, 770 area code, 256.
Oh, all right. What's going on? I didn't even know I was on. I was up there looking at this crazy story that just popped up on the internet. Yeah, man, I had to really think about these. You know, this Locke. Follow me at Locke121 Twitter, Instagram. You know, what's going on, Real Talk?
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
Locked in the building.
I ain't really understand if you were saying the top that every black person should see or just my personal favorite.
I want you to give yours. I mean, now we were saying that to make it a little more interesting, you know, because the actual topic was your top five must-see black films. Whether you're black or whoever, it doesn't matter if you're not black. You should have seen this film.
When I heard Roots, I was like, uh-oh. But I'm going to just say that Roots is a given, and I don't even need to put Roots on my list. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to start with Coolie High. I'm going to take it old school.
I'm going to go with Coolie High.
You had a great soundtrack. You had What's Happening.
Oh, awesome soundtrack.
That came basically was based on Coolie High. You know, it was just a great movie. You know what I mean? I love Coolie High. My second movie, you got to keep in mind, I'm from the younger hip hop generation, is Boys in the Hood. You know what I'm saying? I think that was like the first movie that really addressed like what a lot of West Coast artists was talking about. I guess a lot of hip hop artists, period, but definitely for the West Coast. That was like the first time you saw that story updated. And then, you know what I'm saying, I got to take it to Menace to Society for my number three.
Because Menace,
Menace is kind of like the same thing, except I say that Menace, even though it tries to tie things in a bow at the end, Menace has a little bit less of a conscience than Boys in the Hood, and I admit I like it because that shit is gangster. Fuck it. number two, you know what I'm saying? I gotta go with Do the Right Thing. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, that movie is just as relevant today. You know, you look at what's going on there. I just looked at Do the Right Thing again. I'm like, you know, Eric Gardner basically is Radio Raheem. I mean, he didn't sort of choke Sal out or whatever in the pizza shop, but still in all, you know, it's still black men getting strangled to death by police. So, and my number one, which, my number one, you know what I mean, which is, I feel like this movie has been put, you know, kind of under the rug because it dropped too many gems and they really didn't want all this information out there. And I'm going with the movie Bamboozled by Spike Lee because I just think that that movie should be seen by, like, every black person and definitely every black entertainer. And I really feel it's a conspiracy against that movie. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and that's my number one. But much respect to Roots. You know, I hate that I can't add it on my top five, but I think it just hovers over us like this omnipotent God movie. So, as far as the TV shows, as far as the TV shows, you know, you made it hard with three.
You know what I mean? I had to, man.
Really
I had to because it's too. You know, you don't want to go. I know there's a lot of, you know, there's enough to get five out of it. But I figured let's go with three. Let's make you really think about
it. What's funny, though, you ain't really make it that hard because it ain't, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, quality in some of our shows has been lacking for a minute. So, but number three, I'm going with Dynamite. Good Times.
Good Times, yeah. Exactly.
Because, I mean, Good Times is, I mean, it's, I understand it. It exploits every negative stereotype about black people, but they was real gutter on Good Times also. And, you know, I think they had some good messages. They got way deeper than, you know, your average sitcom on Good Times. You know, number two, I got to give it to Bill Cosby for The Cosby Show. You know what I'm saying? I can't, man, you know, you can't hold up Bill Cosby, you know what I mean? I mean, you can, but I'm just...
Oh, Lord, here we go.
We ain't gonna talk about that. And my number one show, and this is because I feel like, you know, this show came in the golden era, I guess the re-golden era of TV. I think, you know, TV has been the best it's ever been since in the last 15 years, in my opinion. And I'm going with The Wire for my number one show because I love it so much.
Wow, that's an interesting speak. You put The Wire against a lot of these shows. I mean, it's a great show, but that's interesting. I think that's interesting that that's your number one. That's what's up. Hey, that's what it is. It's for everyone. It's your list, you know what I mean? So that's I do like your I like both of your lists, your film list and your television list. So, you know,
thank you, sir.
The Wire was Wire is a film that not film but a show. It felt like a film, but that show is a lot of people. Surprisingly, when I talk to people, it flew under their radar. Maybe because it was on HBO. But a lot of people it flew under their radar. So, I mean, either way, you can't go wrong here. This is on your list, and this is your opinion of what, you know, people should have seen. And we thank you, as usual, Lot, for calling up.
Yes,
and
sir.
And
you know I love it.
And listening.
I'm about to
And shout out your social
I'm about
media
to call,
real quick. Follow you where?
Yes, follow me, Lock121, that's LOCH121. I'm about to drop this project soon, too, called Afro-American Psycho, you know, loosely based on American Psycho, the film, because, you know, I rock with the films. And, you know, LOCH121, I'm about to call Saul tonight, so.
Better call Saul. All right, that's what's up.
Tight,
thanks a
tight,
lot,
buddy. Tight. Yes, sir.
Yep. We'll talk to you later, buddy. All right, that was Lot. We're going to speed up the callers here. We got another one. They're lighting up, bro. They're lighting up, guys. They are lighting up. The lines are lighting up. We have a 631 area code. 835, you're on with Real Talk. Who do we have on the line? 631 area code, 835. Okay, we'll come back to them. Maybe they're not realizing. So, dudes, what are y'all thinking right now with the list that are coming up? My man Locke's list was really dope.
Was a good list, real good list.
Yeah,
I like that list. I liked his list because he had to sprinkle a little bit of old school in there, and you know The Wire is not considered old school. That was, you know, that's more recent. But that was topped off his list, and I was really impressed with that. I think that there's no right or wrong with these lists. They're opinions. But in my opinion, you know, some of these, especially the TV shows are a little more exact than the films, because the films, you know, it's anybody's, you know, there's so many, a vast majority of films, you know, like I said, you have the whole blaxploitation era. And, you know, as Heaven Hollywood pointed out, you know, he picked one blaxploitation film, Blackula, and Jimmy Ace picked like two blaxploitation film eras. So that was a very important era in film, especially for black people, you know. He said Shaft, and I think he said Coffee. So that's two that fell into the blaxploitation era, and he mentioned Foxy Brown, which was another one. So this is a topic, especially, you know, it's appropriate to talk now. It's Black History Month. 646-595-4038. We want everybody to call in and give us your top five must-see black films until we get another caller back on, because we had that caller and it seems like they put their hand down or they hung up. And so we'll start with Ralph. We'll start with you while we're waiting on more callers.
Let's start with your
top five films.
Okay. See, because I was sitting up here listening to everybody with their list, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, you got your top five, you know, all time. You got top five that everybody should watch. I'm going to change mine. Says my top five that should be in your DVD collection.
Okay.
That's what I'm, right. Number five.
Well, that's Kevin. That's probably all of them. Even if he ain't seen it, he probably hasn't.
All right, this is my number five. Number five, Blazing Saddles. That should be in your DVD collection. Why?
Check.
Because, right? Because the hero, spoiler alert, he's a black guy. You know, spoiler alert, he's a black guy, and it's just so outrageously funny that whether you were black or white, Spanish, Puerto Rican, Italian, whatever, you just laughed out loud, and when you saw it, you didn't think about race, even though it's a very racial movie. You don't think about race. You just think that, I can't believe that this guy just punched out a horse. I can't believe they all sitting around eating beans and farting. It's just so many levels of ridiculous. That should be in your DVD collection. All right, number four. Now, I know we all like gangster movies, and some people say Shottas, and some people might say New Jack City. The Mac should be in your DVD collection.
The Mac. Yeah, that's awesome. Give that
Number three, Lady Sings the Blues should be in your DVD collection.
Yeah.
All you people out there that got Dream Girls in there, go get Lady Sings the Blues if you want to see a real performance where Diana Ross is not playing, well, she could be actually playing herself, but playing this character, and to just see her go from struggle to make it into drug depression to drug addiction and try to get out of it, the story of Billie Holiday. Get Lady Sings the Blues.
Yeah.
That should be in your DVD collection.
Awesome.
Number two, because it's just, once again, it's such a funny movie and it's so memorable, but Friday. I'm tired because it should be Friday because of Chris Tucker. But then I'm also saying House Party, and the reason I'm saying
it's for me, yeah,
And the reason I'm saying Tudor is because it showed black movies in a different way, because we all, at that time, when they were, it was like right at the start of like all the real hardcore movies like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society, straight what's the one by some
Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, another one.
But these two movies showed us black people that, you know, it's not all about that, we can actually do something to have some fun. You know, and from Friday, it showed that even though we in this area where you can get shot every given second, we still like to kick it. We know how to have a good time, and it's always not about shooting somebody or drug deals or anything else. And House Party, it was just like what we all wanted to do as teenagers. We all wanted to go to a party and be the life of the party, get the girl, you know, have a good time without any problems. But it also caught, if you really watch it, it also taught a couple of lessons, like, about unprotected sex, I mean, about being responsible, about, you know, getting your education, what could happen to you, and things of that nature. So there was a lot of hidden messages in the movie, but the overall thing was like, let's have a good time and try to come out in peace and have a good time. But my number one movie that every black person should have in their collection, and I was I was making lines about this Saturday night when I was in IHOP at 2 o'clock in the morning, The Five Heartbeats.
You got five heartbeats
in your collection. There's something wrong with you.
You got me on that one. If you don't have that in your collection, man, that's definitely one of my personal favorites. I was putting that in my top five as well, and it's funny because, go ahead.
Now, I know some people might say, I mean, me, it was really coming down for Robert Townsend between Five Heartbeats and Hollywood Shuffle.
Yes.
But Hollywood Shuffle, I mean, he's a comedian, and you're making a comedic movie about making it in Hollywood. But to go from doing that to making this musical, realistically a fake musical biop about this upcoming R&B band during the 50s and 60s, that took a lot. It took a lot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Eddie Kane. Really Eddie Kane. Y'all sure you don't want to hang with Eddie Kane? What, because I have a couple of drinks? I'm an alcoholic. The Five Heartbeats.
He had some classic moments in that film.
Classic lines. And remember, remember, my business hours are between 9 and 5.
9 to 5. Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. Now, you just mentioned that. Now, I had the opportunity to meet Robert Townsend. And I met him at the American Black Film Festival some years ago. I believe it was 2009, American Black Film Festival. And he's, number one, he's a great dude. Number two, he offers a lot of insight, because when he's there, most of the time he's doing, like, he's teaching, like, you know, he's doing workshops, stuff like that. So I really, he had a lot of knowledge he dropped on me free, you know, and really gave me some insight on how to, you know, how you just casting. And you know, I had a couple of things we kicked it about. And he sat there and talked to me, who just out of nowhere, I walked up to him and then we took a picture with him. And then we just talked. And he learned that I was a, you know, upcoming filmmaker. And he dropped a lot of knowledge on me. And I really appreciate that. Mr. Townsend. I also had the pleasure of meeting Hawthorne James, who played Big Red in that film. I met him at another function that a friend of mine threw out in the Hamptons, and he was in that film, and it had something to do with a film, and I met him there. He's an interesting dude. Hawthorne James is an interesting dude, and he's kind of like, you know, he goes on a little bit. He babbles on a little something. He starts criticizing other actors. He's like how, remember how Little Richard had his little run where he'd be like, yeah, he stole that.
Ain't give me nothing.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't never give me nothing.
He didn't give me nothing. And he stole that from me. Yeah, like, that kind of reminded me of Hawthorne James. When Hawthorne James reminded me of Little Richard when he was doing that. He was like, yeah, Denzel ain't really that good of an actor. I'm like, really? Is that what you think? said he's like, yeah,
that's
why.
Wow. And he said that's why his ass only got a roll in Speed. I think that was his last role, right, as a bus driver.
Well, no, he was in a couple episodes of Martin. He's been in a couple episodes of Martin.
He's in some films lately. You know what I mean? He was in a couple other stuff, but you know, most of his stuff has been. Well, he's in a TV series pilot for some TV series coming up, and then he's in some other film called Blues for Life. I don't know. A lot of his stuff he's been doing is independent. You know what I mean? But he's got, you know, his mainstream films was Speed, of course. He was in Seven. He was in The Color Purple. I don't remember him in there. But he was in Amistad. Like, he's been in a lot of films. But one of his biggest roles, to me, was Big Red in The Five Heartbeat. Like, he was rough with it, man. My office hours are from 9 to 5. He really did that, you know. Holding you out the window, he was like Suge Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like what Suge Knight did to Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. I did meet Michael Wright a couple of years ago at this event that was honoring Robert Englund, and we sat around.
He's
we were talking.
Really
oh yeah, I mean he looks like crap nowadays, but he's still the dude. You know, we sat around talking. What was funny is that I asked him, like, what do you think of the new VTV series? And he just looked at me, took a sip of his Hennessy, and said, it's bullshit. It's straight bullshit. I was like, wow.
What TV series? Which one?
When they redid the VTV series.
Oh.
No, because he's in the original VTV series. So the miniseries and show. So when they redid it, it had just came when I asked him about it. He just said, it's straight bullshit. It's straight bullshit. But he said it like Eddie King. He was like, man, that's some bullshit. It's some bullshit.
I like Michael Wright. I mean, he's not a great actor, but I like him. He's got that smooth. You know, he's like Eddie King Jr. was almost like he was an actor. Because he was smooth with it.
He sounds like a salty, mad, non-working. Just don't stop.
Yo, I don't know what he does, because I saw him at that event, and then about 6 months later, I was at this album release party for Capadonna up in New York City, and he showed up, and I'm like, what are you doing with yourself nowadays? Like, you acting, you writing, you smoking Newports? Like, what are you doing with yourself?
Exactly.
He's sitting in his living room watching TV mad.
I remember him in a little movie. It was kind of like an independent movie called The Principal with Louis Gossett Jr. and James Belushi. James Belushi? James Belushi. Ray Dong Chong.
What happened to Ray Dong Chong? What happened to her? She just disappeared.
She was cool. But I see her on social media. She's still on social media, and she still looks good. I see her on social media. I think I was following her on Twitter or Facebook or something. And if providing these are recent pictures and they look like they are, she still looks good. So, I don't know. I guess she's just chilling. So, Kev, what's up, buddy?
Yes,
let's get to yours. Let's get to your film.
Hey, you know what? First of all, I like to start out by saying I don't agree with the whole I think film is film. I don't care about no colors and no lines and all of that other BS.
Look,
if you like movies, you just watch the movies. But anyway.
They're still black films. Come on.
They're films. They're films. They're not black films. They're films. Period. That's all
they're
I got to say about
films.
Thank you for the Radio Raheem moment. Radio Raheem.
Exactly.
I actually have two lists, and I'm just going to make it quick. I'm not going to elaborate on it. One's a horror list, and the other one is my actual picks. Black horror films that you must see. And you should have them. If you haven't seen them, then you need to see them. First up, Candyman. My boy, Tony Todd.
Candyman. I dare you to say it 5 times in the mirror.
Candyman.
I don't even want to hear it. No, go ahead.
Candyman. Next up,
my favorite film, the one that just scared every black person on the planet, Blackula, of course. That is just a classic. You have to have that. You know, when Homegirl came walking out of the mall, it was a wrap for me. Like, I'm getting goosebumps now.
She was running. She actually was running full speed down the hallway, screaming.
Yeah. You know, that was the most scariest thing that I saw as a kid. I was just floored. Next up, my boy Tony Todd again as one of the lead actors in Night of the Living Dead, the remake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next up. Now, this is not directly, it's because of the voodoo aspect of it. It's the reason why I'm throwing this on my list. Serpent in the Rainbow.
Ooh.
If you have not seen that, you need to make it happen. Next up and last on my list is Blade. That will be, even though, you know, we got all the superhero movies that we have now, Blade hands down will always be my favorite. I mean, listen, when Wesley Snipes first broke out in that, I was just like, wow, awesome. Now, here's my regular list. Number one, Death by Temptation, with Dean Hardy. I don't know how many of you remember that.
I saw that. That was good. I was just thinking about that. I was like, when is he going to put that on the list?
Yeah, that was a part of my horror list, but I had to separate it. That movie freaked me out. That chick was crazy. That's all I'm going to say about that. Next up, Raising in the Sun. If you have not seen Raising in the Sun, it's just something wrong with you. That is classic Sidney Poitier right there. Sidney Poitier and I thought who else was in that? The dark lady that played Mama. She's another really good actress. Next up on my list is the American version of Death at a Funeral. That movie, hands down, was one of the funniest black movies that I have seen, and just all around, just straight comedy. And like Ralph said about one of the other movies, that was one of the movies that showed, you know, us as black people in a regular light, like we are normal, you know what I'm saying, outside of the thuggish and the thoughts and, you know, everything else. It just showed us being like regular, normal people. Next up, Mr. Tibbs, Heat of the Night.
In the Heat of the Night. That is my father's favorite movie.
Let me tell you something, Wayne.
He even liked the show.
Yeah, I love the show, but listen, Sidney Poitier killed that. He murdered it. It was crazy. It was just totally crazy. And I have two more to add to that. They're both comedies. If you have not seen these two, you need to see these two. First off, Live on the Sunset Strip with Rich Pryor. You need, if it's not in your collection, first of all, that should be in your collection. If you have any kind of DVD collection and you're serious about film, that should be in there. Number two, Delirious by Eddie Murphy.
No, I'm going with Raw. I got to go with Raw over Delirious. Sorry, I got to go with Raw.
Delirious. I like Delirious,
Yeah, Raw was good. I got to give you that, Ralph. Raw was good, but Delirious, let me tell you something. Just when I didn't even see Delirious first. I listened to Delirious first on cassette tape. And we laid at my friend Katrina's house for a whole night, from 12 o'clock at night to like 5 o'clock in the morning. Cramps, everything, listening to this thing. Goony Goo Goo. Yo.
Goony Goo Goo.
Yo. That right there in itself, man. Goony Goo Goo.
Yeah,
hands down.
To me, Delirious was more shocking. Well, not shocking. Delirious showed it was introduction to his world, his life and all that. It was his first real big thing that he did, coming off Saturday Night Live and all that stuff. And that's why he warns right from the beginning, if y'all don't be expecting me with the buckwheat wig on, you know what I'm saying? Y'all expecting to see some Saturday Night Live, so you're here for a surprise. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I thought that was cool. He was prepping you for it. The whole thing with the family and the father and the barbecue. I mean, I got 50-year-old Italian white men at my job talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Gus, why can't your wife walk a flight of steps? You know, it's not like that. And he just like, that's a fire and all that stuff. Like, that's why I think that was the best of those, of the two. But Raw showed his other ability to just kind of do, like he did more impersonations in Raw. You know, he did the Richard Pryor impersonation. He did the Bill Cosby. So, you know, that just showed how he grew. And it was really good. I mean, they both were really, really good. But I would take Delirious over, because there was a couple of dry spots in Raw, in my opinion, where he got a little long-winded or something. You know, I was like, yeah, okay, wrap this up now. You know what I mean? So, where even though Delirious, that whole scene with the father and at his house, that was long. That took up a big chunk of the film, but it was funny from beginning to end, you know? And you don't even know these people, but you're laughing, like,
machine
holding your stomach. Machine. Yeah. So, all right. So, that's the top one. Well, I mean, you don't have
that's the top one. There was no particular order.
Yeah. Now I don't have a particular order too. I'm gonna throw a few of mine out there for the movies, and then we can always swing back around on a television series. I know what most people say on television, but in my opinion, I'm gonna stick to the theme of I feel you should have seen this movie if you are black. And one I do agree with Heaven Hollywood was Cooley High. I think Cooley High was a very, very important film to see. It was one of those, you know, throwback films that even if you didn't come up, it was out in 1975. That was the year I was born, so I didn't obviously see it when it came out. But, you know, I actually went back and watched it. It was a really, very good movie. I'm going to also say, man, there's so many. But, you know, I did say that Boys in the Hood is a very important film because it gave you the look of inside the West Coast. So I'm going to say Boys in the Hood. That's two of them. Then I'm going to go with Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee. I definitely think you should have seen that. That's three. I'm going to go with... it gets tough because there's so many of them. I think... This one's going to throw people off, but I'm sorry. It goes to the theme of, if you are black and you have not seen The Wiz, there's a problem. I'm sorry.
That's a real problem.
And you have not seen The Wiz. I don't know what else to say to you. Just rip your black card up. I mean, it's the Black Wizard of Oz. So, it's got Michael Jackson and Diana Ross in it. Why wouldn't you see it? So, Michael Jackson pre-surgery Michael Jackson. So,
yeah. Oh,
I mean, pre-surgery Michael Jackson. And, I mean, The Wiz, come on, man. When I think of home, well, come on. It was, that's the Black Wizard of Oz. So, The Wiz has definitely got to be in there. And,
Wes, before you finish, I got to ask a quick question. The Wiz, would it have been better if Dorothy was played by Stephanie Mills instead of Diana Ross?
Yes.
That's a good question. Probably so.
Yes.
I mean, the Diana Ross, Michael Jackson chemistry was good. Now, I don't know, would you have gotten that same chemistry with Stephanie Mills? But I definitely, well, Stephanie Mills played Dorothy in The Wiz on Broadway. And
yes.
And that's why she destroyed that song, When I Think of Home. And at that point, whenever you want to hear somebody sing, you know what I mean? She sang that song. You really just wanted Stephanie Mills to sing it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really wrestling with the final one, which is it's going to be kind of like a tie, but I think, to me, it's a tie because I'm thinking of films that I think that are kind of like has some important films, you know, messages or whatever. We had The Color Purple, which is everyone talks about, but wow. I also got to say Jungle Fever. I think Jungle Fever was an important film to watch because it really did tackle some issues, and I grew up dating interracial all the time when I grew up. So that's why that was an important film to me, because you did have your times where you're dating that fair-skinned person, whether they're white, Hispanic, or whatever, or mixed, but they look white, as long as they look white. And I've had my times, man, actually out there in your stomping grounds, Kevin, I got pulled over a couple times in Long Beach, driving with a, you know, white girl in my car. when you experience those, now, you know, The Five Heartbeats was, like I said, was one of my favorites, my personal favorites. But I'm not going to go as far as to say, if you black, you should have seen it. I'm just saying, that's my opinion. But that's one of my personal favorites. But Jungle Fever, I think, is definitely up there. So there's so many more that
I'm a crackhead, and I like to do drugs.
I mean, you had Halle Berry. You know that was movie magic makeup. Halle Berry,
yeah, it was
a crackhead. She
for real
terrible in that film. And you know, Samuel Jackson just was brilliant. You know, you had Ruby Dee and Ozzie Davis in there. Like you had, well, which they appeared in a lot of Spike Lee films, but. You know, they were, it's like no matter what, you see them in films and they're almost like the same people, but they're still really good. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, yes.
So, you know, that whole part with the, and I got to shout out my girl, Vesta, who she's one of my actress friends, because she always laughs about that. They're playing that, I think that's a Mahalia Jackson song when he gets shot. And here come the raging sea. That song was playing.
Wow.
When Gaynor comes in and he's wilding out, he wants the money, and that's when the father shoots him. So, spoiler alert if you've never seen it, but you should have seen it if you're black. So, yeah, you deserve the spoiler. So that's my films. You know, I know you guys you didn't get a chance to go over the TV show, so we'll go over that. TV shows, to me, it's no-brainer. Top three, no-brainer for me. Cosby, Good Times, Jeffersons, period. Now, you know, that's because if I have to do three, that's where I'm going with. Cosby Show, Good Times, and Jeffersons. If it was more than that, you know, I'd probably tie the Cosby Show with A Different World because I really was into A Different World. I love Lisa Bonet. I follow her to the end of the universe. when she left Cosby and went to A Different World, I left Cosby and went to A Different World. So that was pretty, you know, I kind of jumped off Cosby at that point and I was into A Different World. But I have to say, though, in my opinion, it's no-brainer. I mean, now, give some honorable mentions. Living Single was a good black show, and you know, couple of, what was the other one? Someone mentioned it already.
Martin, definitely Martin.
Yeah, definitely Martin. Martin was, now, you know, we could go on and on, you know, because Martin, and if I want to say more, the most recent black show, if you want to call it that, that I really, really, really got into, and unfortunately I got into it after its run, and I just was watching reruns, is My Wife and Kids.
Yeah,
I thought,
that was crazy.
I think funny.
That show, that show is so, you know, deserves a lot of credit. The Waynes, first of all, I always said, and, you know, I've only met a couple of them, But I think the Wayans, it's fair to say that the Wayans family is one of the most talented families in show business. And
very
you know, they're brilliant. And David Wayans, which I did meet, you know, I've met him. He's brilliant. You know, but they do everything together. That's what I love about that family. Like, they're a family. They're a real family. And meaning they don't do nothing without at least two family members involved in the show. You know, you had David Wayans. He was the only Wayans that mostly was in the show. We had a couple of them cameo, but you know, Damon. You know, you had Damian Wayans and all these other ones. They were directing episodes. They were producing episodes. They were writing episodes. Like, these dudes, that's a real talented and a real family. And actually, I'm gonna make one scratch off, even though it's a, you know, people will kill me for scratching off The Color Purple. I forgot to tell you, I have to go back to me, in my opinion, The Hollywood Shuffle should be. That was a very important film to see if you're black, because it really talked about racial stereotypes that African Americans in film and television. And that's what the film was, even though it was a comedy and he went about it parody and silly. But it was an important film because it really tackled how black people, in which a topic that we're still talking about today, that they're debating about, even with the David Oyelowo and all that stuff, you know, talking about how stereotypes in Hollywood, given, you know, the whole point, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, you're a black actor and he's told he's not black enough in a film, in certain roles, you know. And this film is being directed by a white person, and they're like, hey, can you be a little more black, you know, bulge your eyes, stick out your ass, you know, things like that. It's just like, and he's doing it feeling like a sellout and all stuff. It was a really good film, though. I mean, Hollywood Shuffle, I think you really should see. You know what I'm saying? If you into film, or whatever, and so I'm gonna go with that. You, Ralph, you went with The Heartbeats. I'm going with The Hollywood Shuffle. I think that was an important film. So,
well, I'm not gonna disagree with the, I mean, the stuff he did in like Attack of the Street Pimps. I mean, that shit was crazy. The little mini movie, the mini movies inside the movie, inside of his brain. I mean, there's a lot of genius in Hollywood Shuffle. And forget the movie. The making of it alone is a story of its own, how he actually made the movie. You know, but I can't fault it. I would go with Hollywood Shuffle. I mean, I just think that the, you know, like what I said, just trying to make a documentary, a rockumentary, and you're making it, you're creating a group from scratch out of nowhere, coming with original songs and all kinds of stuff. I just think that was a little harder to do than basically filming how you got yourself put into the business. But that was just me. But no disrespect to Hollywood Shuffle. I mean, Hollywood Shuffle, I mean, it's a classic movie. And once again, one that flies under the radar that most people don't see. They don't even really show it on TV that much. But you should watch it, especially if you're talking about you want to become a director. Watch that movie to see exactly how hard it is to make it in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and be black.
That's true. I agree. I mean, this is a good topic. This is a good show topic. I mean, the phones were going lighting up, and people have been sticking with us and listening. And I'm really, you know, I like this show. I mean, we could talk so much about it. Like I said, we didn't even really get a chance to touch on, you know, blaxploitation, you know, and the importance that it did have on, you know, in Hollywood. And but ironically, all of us picked at least one blaxploitation film on our list, you know. And, you know, from if you talk about Shaft, you talk about Blackula, you know, I mean... I wanted to say something about Blackula, Kev, which was so ironic. I always bring up, and my brother, you know, Heaven Hollywood brought it up before, too. The funny thing about, you know, and once again, it just shows about stereotypes and marketing in, you know, with black films from back then. on the box of Blackula, you have William Marshall Blackula as Blackula, and he's biting a white woman. I don't think there was a white woman in that film. On the box, on the cover of Blackula, anybody go back and look, you have him biting a white woman. And I'm sitting there like, why is Blackula biting a white woman right here? When I don't remember him, I can't even remember seeing a white woman in Blackula. You know what I'm saying?
It was. I think there was a brief scene with a nurse. I think that was about it.
Okay, maybe so. But maybe. I'm trying to remember. But, you know, they had the ads from back then was hilarious. It was like, bloodsucker, dead lion, you know, deadlier than Dracula, you know? deadlier than Dracula. It was good stuff, though, man. Warm young bodies will feed his hunger. So it's like, it's good, but, like, it's hilarious. So, and then I'm looking at the ad again. Not only is he biting a white woman, then there's a picture of him with a snake going through his heart. And guess what color is the hand that's putting the snake through his heart? It's white.
It's white.
Oh, wow.
Crazy. Is that crazy?
There's a white hand putting the snake through his heart. Marketed, I'm telling you, man.
Wow.
And then it's like this, you know, I'm sitting there like, that's marketing for you. You got him biting a white woman. I can't even say that with a straight face because I thought that was ridiculous. You know, you got him biting a white woman, and then you got the white hand with the steak going through his heart. I thought that was very interesting, but that was blaxploitation era. You know, they put the films out. That's how it was going to be, you know. And I sure wish, you know, William Marshall's not with us anymore. Although if I did get him on the show, that would scare the hell out of my brother. My brother saw him on Star Trek and got scared. That's how much Blackula messed with him. He saw William Marshall on Star Trek episode. And that scared him to death, almost. So, once again, it was a great show. You know, we're winding it down. We have about another 7 minutes or so. And so let's quickly run down. Kev, you didn't give your television shows. You only need to give three.
I got to say the Jefferson.
Yeah.
This time. And damn, it's my favorite. Yeah, the Jefferson, Good Time, and man, I think it's my third. Man, I gotta say, Cosby Show.
Almost no brainer, man. I mean, the Cosby Show really just set us all up, man. You watched it, and they were not definitely a perfect black family. They were a great black family, but you know, they had their problems and they dealt with a lot of different things. You know, it definitely was the opposite of Good Time. You know, as far as having the stuff that they had to deal with, but the Cosby Show was a big part of American black culture. That no matter what happens from this point on, no matter how much people tear down Bill Cosby's name, he put a work out there, in my opinion, that's timeless and, you know, something that everyone can watch for years and years, provided they don't ban it from the TV stations. But
the thing that was good about the Cosby Show is that it had balance. It was the perfect balance.
Yeah.
Everybody could relate to it. It wasn't just it wasn't a black thing. It was a family thing. And that's what I love.
Yeah.
It had an excellent balance, and I feel, I agree with you on that, Kev. It had an excellent balance. So, Ralph, did you run? You didn't get a chance to run down your television shows, did you?
No, I didn't. But I'll give them real fast. I guess the one is a no-brainer, The Cosby Show. I mean, despite whatever's going on with Mr. Cosby today, you can't deny the impact his show hit people with when it first aired. My number two show is The Jeffersons, because I just thought it was minute-for-minute funnier than Sanford and Son. I did. Once again, it tried to show a positive spin on the black family, which at the time, I mean, we had good times, but, you know, Jefferson was trying to get us out the ghetto. And now the Jeffersons, we're out together, but we're trying to stay out together on, you know, they keep going. And I thought, George Jefferson alone, the art between George Jefferson and Florence were classics. Classics.
Yeah. Classic.
I think my number three pick is going to surprise people. My number three pick is Julia.
Julia? Wow.
Julia with Diane Carroll.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I forgot about that.
That's my number three pick, because that's really like the first TV series that the woman is the main character, but she's not shown in some kind of negative. Like, she's shown as a mother, being a nurse, you know, trying to make ends meet, trying to take care of her family, and doing it the right way. So I'm going to go with Julia. It didn't last. It's only on air for 3 seasons, you know, but you can't deny the impact that show makes. I know some folks out there will say scandals. No, Scandal hasn't been around long enough. No.
Hasn't been around long enough. But one of my favorites, and I want to give a couple of honorable mentions before we go off the air here. One of my favorite honorable mentions we want to go with, Amen was another good one. You know, an honorable mention. I thought it was a cool show. And since you talked about Florence, how she went to her own show, 227, which was also a pretty cool show. But one of my favorites as an honorable mention, I want to say, was Different Strokes. And Different Strokes, you know, like I said, it didn't fall under the. It crossed over, so to speak. You know, it wasn't just only black people watched it, you know what I mean? Because it had that mixed family thing. But I liked it, you know what I mean? I think because I grew up watching it, and I had fun watching it, whatever. But, you know, so then a couple other honorable mentions. Family Matters, that was a nice kind of modern, you know, family thing, you know, that talked about showing black people, a black family in a good light, you know. And then, of course, there was Mr. Steve Urkel, who just completely took over that show.
Yeah, and that's another show that had a lot of good balance to it, too.
Yeah. I'm still pissed at ABC for the way they ended the show. Come on, you guys could have gave them one more year to see Steve and Laura get married.
Right. Yeah, wrap it up, you know. They never got a chance to get married. They were supposed to get married. And he was in space and all types of crap. They just went crazy with it, and they didn't give them a chance to wrap that show up properly. But anyhow, another great topic, another great show. Want to thank everybody, all the callers that called in, my man Locke, Kevin Hollywood, Jimmy Ace, everyone that called in and chimed in and did not actually talk on the phone, but we had a lot of callers. We want to thank, of course, Dollhouse Radio, India Morrell, always thank her. We want to thank Blog Talk Radio for not giving us any technical difficulties, as I say every week.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, we want to thank all of the listeners and supporters. I see my guys out there retweeting and things of that nature of the show. I got my girl Ayanna Williams out there. She's, you know, shouting us out, tweeting the show, reposting it. Thank you, everybody, for support. And, of course, I want to thank my Jedi Council. Next week, we'll be back. And
yes, sir.
As we always say, guys, thank you. Everybody else, as we always say to you,
You can love us or you can hate us, but don't ever, ever forget about us. Good night.